Welcome to Slice of Life. Because a bite was not enough, you've listened to Brenda's Bites for years, and now Brenda is expanding her show to include lifestyle happenings from around the region. Now here's your host, Brenda Alacy.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Slice of Life. As always, we appreciate you carving out the time for us week in and week out. We're here, the only lifestyle show in Buffalo Radio. It goes from 10:30 to 11 every Sunday morning, and it's a pleasure and a privilege for me to host the show. If you'd like to hear some of the archive shows over the years, feel free to go to our website at ESPN1520.com, and you'll see all of the archive shows right there and then. And you know, you never know who might be appearing on the show. We have everybody from doctors, pharmacists, real estate agents, event planners, people from all walks of life, lawyers, car dealers, and of course my favorite topic in the world is food. So it is a pleasure for me to focus on food this week on Slice of Life. And I have back in the studio for an encore appearance, John Rooney. John is the co-owner of the Yelling Goat in Lancaster. He co-owns the Goat with Lori Kutas. And John, it's been a little while, but it's so nice to have you back in the studio. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, you were certainly in the news back in February when a fire broke out at the Yelling Goat, your restaurant, which is located, by the way, on Central Avenue in Lancaster. Set the scene for us, if you would, John, for that fateful day. It was February 22nd, right?
Yes, and I was in the midst of my nap. I get my afternoon nap, and it's very important for me because I'm an early riser and I bake every day. So Lori had called stating that there was a fire. And I assumed that it was an overdone type of panic thing. And I listened to BEN, so that was on. And sure enough, it popped on that there was a fire at the Yelling Goat at 205 Central. So I hopped in the car and was listening to Bowerly at the time. He was going on about it. And there were reports that it had started in a pizza oven. And that if the owner could give a shout out to verify that, that'd be good. So I did, and I spoke to Tom on the way over in the car and explained to him what was going on, which is basically it was a fire in the upstairs, one of the upstairs apartments, just above the entrance to the bar. And it engulfed the entire second floor. The goat part of it, the space that we leased, the restaurant, was water damaged and smoke. And so the fire department made it there in a timely fashion. It was fairly amazing because that building is, 1920s, give or take. So it was a tinderbox waiting to go. They controlled it. They put it out. And it seemed as though at the time that we were salvaged. There were holes in the ceiling and so forth where they had poked through. And there was water dripping down, but it seemed salvageable. And then as things went further and they began tearing it out, ripping out this or that was water damaged, things weren't to code, wood was less than stable, et cetera, et cetera. So I would show up every morning, albeit not involved in the construction, but I would go to see what was going on. And there'd be a hole in the floor over here, and then the next day there'd be another hole over here, and pretty soon there was no floor, there was no bar, there was no anything.
Oh, my gosh,
hole.
John. Yeah. It had to be so disheartening.
You don't know how life stops in a flash like that. And we've been doing this for 15 years, over in East Aurora and now in Lancaster, and me personally, 6 a.m. every day, 15 years, to bake, so I had no idea what I was doing, as far as waking up every morning and not having much to do.
Yeah, it takes you out of your routine.
Oh,
for
man.
Sure.
Holy cow. So long and short of it is building owner, construction people, and me and Lore all agreed that the thing would get flipped quickly. And if it didn't, we'd have to go do something else because it's our livelihood. And even though we're insured well, that only goes so far. Mm-hmm. So everything began to go rapidly. And the plan was to do the interior first, period, end of subject, go full bore in the interior, and then exterior second. And so we've been operational now for a little over a month, maybe a month and a week or so, a month and a couple of weeks. And it's been fantastic. The interior is lovely, you know, and we're real pleased with the way it came out. We had say in the design, which was nice, and we wanted to keep the basic feel of what it was, kind of an old Buffalo tavern. And so we did, and we were able to source tin for the ceiling and put in new floors and paint. And in fact, the front end of the building is completely new, 100%. There's nothing that exists from the past.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. It's a hard way to go to get a new place.
You know, John, as you recount the story, I can't help but think about how you had no control on February 22nd.
None.
When the fire broke out, and subsequently how difficult it was to figure out what was happening, if anything were to happen again. And now here you are talking about how you had control and you had some input on the design and the overall look of the tavern feel. What a 180 for you.
It was good, yeah. That part was good. As with any construction project, there are situations that come up. And there were, although they were handled nicely and everything turned around quickly, as most people are fairly amazed that it was 3 months and maybe 2 weeks before we were operational again. So that was great. But our greatest concern initially was employees. When I showed up to the fire, the shift change was there, so all the guys were sitting out watching this building burn, watching their livelihood go away. And our people have been with us for years and years and years. We don't have much turnover. So it was
had
a tough
to be
one.
Emotional, too.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Well, I was utterly amazed when I came to your grand reopening. Then, as you say, that was, what, about 6 weeks ago?
Something like that,
maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
Utterly amazed at how the place looked on the inside, because when you pull up, it's all Tyvek.
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Tyvek is the new thing. You watch.
Apparently,
you know,
it's a new look. I liked it. Early American Tyvek.
But the siding is on now. And, so the permits were cut, I believe, this week, maybe last week. So the finishing has begun.
Excellent.
As they say. Yeah.
And
yeah.
The tin roof, really, the tin ceiling, I should say, offers quite a cool look, a kind of retro feel to it.
Yeah.
And as you say, that was by design, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's a guy down in Florida that does retro tin, and the contractor gave him to us, and then we looked at his stuff and picked out what was as close to what was there as possible.
Talk to me a little more about your employees, John. You know, I talked to many people over, you know, in many different walks of life, industries of every ilk. And the one sort of common thread is that it's very difficult to find good help. And yet here you are talking about how you have such loyal help year in and year out. What makes it work for you in your restaurant?
Well, our mindset with the employees is to allow them to do their job. And set the parameters that we want and the quality that we want, and then allow them to do it. And that's how it's worked from day one. And it works well because it empowers people. It allows them to do their thing. And I come from a sales background and Lori a marketing background. And my philosophy was always just get out of my way and let me do my thing, you know. And so we do that with the employees. And we paid them full pay for 3 weeks or 3 months out of the time off.
That's fantastic. Yeah, very generous.
Yeah. Well, our insurance adjuster looked at us a little funny on that one, but our business is such that you can't just pull Jim off the street and tell him go at it. It's a much more complex situation back there in the kitchen and out front than it may seem. So. Everybody stayed. We lost two of them were going to leave anyway before the fire, so they went away, and that's it. That's all we lost.
Wow, that's utterly amazing again to me, and it engenders that kind of loyalty, certainly.
Yes, yeah.
I think you're very humble about this, John, but I'm impressed that you have that kind of loyalty.
Yeah, they again, we appreciate our people.
Yes, and they can feel it.
Yeah, I think so. And It was funny in our meetings that we'd have from time to time, just to stay in touch. We'd have them come over to the burnt out building and go in there and have a meeting. And I didn't realize how much I missed people that you work with day in and day out, 7 days a week, until you take all that away.
Yes.
And so that was an eye opener for me.
Yeah.
It was touching, you know, inside. And and now everybody's back at it. We were able to put in new equipment in the kitchen just because, you know, we were down. And so we spent some of the money on that to do that up. And then a lot of new stuff inside too. Tables, chairs, etc.
So, you're sort of like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And couldn't wait to get going. And it's been incredibly intense, even with the Tyvek, which I told Laura, you know, we started out, we didn't have a sign. We put out a little thing on a lit sign saying, we're open. No goat, no nothing. And it was just sellout. It was
really
intense. Yeah.
They know you.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, so it was humbling because I didn't expect anybody would, you know, come out. So.
When did you leave East Aurora, John, to open up the goat?
Goat is on its fourth year, so count back from there.
Okay, so yeah. 14.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
And the goat was the kind of the little engine that could, you know. We set that up to get out of the clutter of East Aurora.
Right.
Lovely community. We live over there. But from a business standpoint, it was a little bit too clustered for us. And our place over there was a 200-plus seat joint.
Thought it was kind of cavernous.
It's big.
Yeah,
it's
a big
beast.
It's a lot of utilities to pay.
A lot of space,
Seats to fill.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more about why it's the go-to spot, as I saw on your website. I love that, John. Where we're talking with John Rooney. He and Lori Kutas own the Yelling Goat in Lancaster. Back right after this on Slice of Life.
Are you looking for a new vehicle but a little concerned about your credit? Or maybe your kid needs to get financed for a vehicle? Well, here's some advice that can help you out. Go see my friends at Riverfront Auto Sales, a local family dealership on Niagara Street in Buffalo. Plain and simple, owner Marty Pecoraro Sr. can guarantee your approval for a car loan. And whether you have good credit, bad credit, or no credit at all, Riverfront Auto Sales will get you approved. Right, Marty?
That's right, Jeremy. We pride ourselves on being able to finance anyone. And yes, any dealership can accept applications, but they may not get you approved. My family and I can get anyone approved for credit. And the best part of our program is that it can help you build up your credit score.
Here's Marty Jr.
If you want a vehicle, yet you're concerned about getting approved for credit, head straight to Riverfront, and my father and I will personally help you out.
Riverfront is home of the 100% guaranteed credit approval.
Call Riverfront and find out how you can get approved today. Call 886-1626. That's 886-1626.
Want to get the raw truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Then tune into ESPN 1520 every Saturday morning at 9:30 for The Raw Truth with integrative health and nutrition practitioner Robbie Raw RN. Every week, Robbie takes an in-depth look at fitness, family, food, faith, sleep, stress management, and so much more. Feel great and look great in mind, body, soul, and spirit every Saturday morning at 9:30 with Robbie Raw and The Raw Truth on ESPN 1520.
I'm gonna get my perks.
My perks!
At mybuffaloperks.com.
Make it a button-mashing birthday party or special event at Oogie Games. Get a three-hour video game party at Oogie Games for just $125. That's half off the regular price. It's today's deal of the day from My Buffalo Perks. Details at mybuffaloperks.com.
I'm gonna get my perks.
My perks!
At mybuffaloperks.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Slice of Life. Now back to your hostess with the mostest, Brenda Alacy.
Welcome back to this edition of Slice of Life. It's great to be with you on this Sunday fun day. And as always, thanks to Kevin Carr, the K-Car, putting us on the right road as he pushes all the buttons for the show week in and week out. Couldn't do it without the K-Car. Well, we are talking with John Rooney, who is the owner, along with Lori Kutas, of the Yelling Goat. Certainly one of my favorite spots, and I follow these folks from their time at Tantalus in East Aurora. And also, John, you had a short-lived Ethiopian restaurant that I absolutely loved. I remember bringing a group of friends down for my birthday one year. What was the name of your Ethiopian
place? That was Theus.
Theus, yeah. That's it. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name of it. And what a delightful place it was. I have to say, You know, you go to the Yelling Goat in Lancaster, which has been open for about 4 years now, and you came through that devastating fire. You're up and running, bigger and better than ever. And you walk in, and you might have a beer and a burger, or you might have some Ethiopian-style wings, bear wings, or thin crust New York City-style pizza, or a calzone that's bigger than Sandy Beach's foot. I mean, you know, a full dinner, a French dish, a cassoulet. I mean, there's just so many things on your menu, John. How do you figure out what you want to keep on that menu?
Well, it's almost the Chinese restaurant mentality of ingredients are intertwined.
Yes.
Everything's scratch. So there is nothing that stands out as an island. And we're able to intertwine most of the core ingredients with most everything that we do.
So as disparate as they are, it still works because you can combine so many.
Ties in, you have to do that with a menu that size and make it similar.
Gotcha.
In ingredients, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So it's not that weird to think that you've got all these different dishes and ethnic kind of origins at the Yelling Goat. By the way, the Goat is located at 205 Central Avenue, right in Lancaster. And you'll see it, you know, it's kind of like you said, an old tavern kind of look to it.
Yes.
And the Tyvek has now been covered.
Yeah, well, most of it's been covered on the bottom. The front, the balcony over the patio is coming shortly,
mm-hmm.
hoping to catch a little bit of summer, although we have a fireplace set up for it, fans to, it'll be covered in wood, fully covered, and then we'll screen it with some industrial screens that you can see out but not in.
Nice.
And then there will be a quartz heaters up top too.
Oh.
So we've really gone the full mile on the whole patio thing. The concrete was torn up, so it's level. Everything is new. It's real nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I can't
exciting.
Wait to
yeah.
sit on your patio.
Yeah.
You know, you want to squeeze out every moment.
Right.
When you live in Western New York and enjoy that outdoor season dining.
And it's dog friendly too.
Oh, is that
so,
right?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're
That's
big
kind
on
of a
that.
European thing. I like that. That's very cool. John, let's dive into the food. Now, on your website, you talk about having the best burgers, and it's a pretty lofty thing to say when you talk about all the burger competition. What makes your burgers unique?
Well, the burgers that we do are a ground steak blend that's customized for us. So more than often when folks get a burger, they speak of the taste, the flavor that comes from our ground steak that we use. And the size, it's 12-ounce burger. So
oh.
it's big, and they retain their size. So it's not a it doesn't go away after you grill it.
No shrinkage, as
no,
George Costanza
correct.
Would say.
No shrinkage. And so that's a big deal. We're topping them with anything from pork belly, deep-fried pork belly and an egg, to stuffed inside burgers from Tantalus, oh. you know, the Tantalus burger, the insiders that we did, be it cheddar and bacon or blue cheese. And but more than anything, it's the flavor, it's the taste. And we do a tremendous volume of burgers. Wasn't set out that way
mm-hmm.
Because it was just one of the things we do. But the burgers and the corned beef that goes overnight. So it's real corned beef and very popular.
And it's simmered for all those hours, making it fork tender, I bet?
Correct, yeah. If you bite into a Reuben at our place and you take out the whole piece of corned beef,
you know,
there's a problem.
Yeah.
that's
not a good thing. John, you mentioned how you bake. And in fact, the first time I went to your place in East Aurora years ago, the bread struck me. I love mm-hmm. good, hearty bread. Do you make the rolls for the burgers as well? Or do people ask to put it on the bread?
No, we source the rolls from a local baker.
Gotcha.
Just around the corner from us.
So you try to support locals as well
oh,
with
yeah.
the Yelling Goat.
Very much
it's
so.
Great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. Talk to me about the Bear wings, a little taste of Ethiopia in downtown Lancaster.
Yeah, Berberi is a spice from Ethiopia that I source from over there. I have an agent down in Washington, D.C. that I go through and bring in chunks of product at a time, about 100 pounds of it at a time. And it's an exotic flavor, smoky, little bit of heat, but more warmth than heat, deep red. It's a combination of many different things ground into a fine powder. And then we take it and make it usable for a wing dip or a wing coating, if you will. So there are ingredients added to it that we mechanize it so that it works as a wing coating, probably the most popular thing we do.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, how did it go over?
It's it's
an
a big
exotic
deal.
Thing.
Oh,
no
it's a
kidding.
Big deal. Yeah, yeah. The most folks, understand, you know. So we do far more Bear wings than we do hot, mild barbecue, et cetera.
Right.
We do them all, but, you know.
Yes, and there's so many versions out there, but I don't think anybody else has Bear.
It's a rare breed, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I remember you telling me in previous conversations, you have a fascination with Ethiopian food.
Yeah. Well, I cooked, we discovered it in D.C. when we were traveling, and it was similar to the first time you had Mexican food as a kid, like Eureka, right?
Right, right.
And, so the flavor profile and so forth. And so I explored that, would cook it at home for the family and the kids. And we wanted to do an Ethiopian joint in Buffalo early on in the Tantalus days, but it was so obscure, so far to the left, that wouldn't work. It was made to fail, you know, early on. And then all of a sudden a couple of them popped up downtown, and we thought, well, there's our window to actually do something internally within our current kitchen over at Tantalus. And we did, and it was quite popular, but that also coincided with the time that we wanted to scale back. So we ran with that up until the bitter end of that operation over there, and then called it a day, because I didn't want to, it wouldn't fit with what we're doing over at the Goat.
Right, right.
You know,
yes.
Except for the wings. And I do, every now and again, I'll do Ethiopian food.
Oh.
And I'll do platters.
Will you do the injera?
Yeah, do the whole thing.
Oh, great. You'll have to let me know about that.
Yeah, every blue moon.
Okay.
You know, and we'll do it as kind of a European an over there night, you know.
Yeah, different continent.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned about D.C. because that's the first exposure I had to Ethiopian food, too, was in Washington, where there are a number of Ethiopian restaurants. And now I'm happy to say there are a few here,
yes,
as you said. But that injera was
fun.
Like a religious experience for me.
It's,
it was so good.
It's a game changer.
It
yeah.
is, and it's such a communal thing, too, when everybody's eating off of the platter.
Correct.
Oh, great
yes.
stuff. Now, you also have thin crust New York City-style pizza, which I had when you had your grand reopening. Absolutely delicious, with some unique toppings as well.
Yeah, we are, we have the pepperoni and the mushroom, but we create our own ground sausage for our sausage pies and so forth. And it's kind of it's the flagship almost, the pizza operation, in that it is unique. The dough I make every day, it's part of the baking routine that I do in the morning, so that it's a sour, if you will. There's a starter that I've developed for rolled over for years and years. And, so it's kind of a flagship for what we do.
That's great. Again, with so much competition, John, with pizzerias seemingly on every corner, it's nice to know that the Goat can sustain itself with pizza, or that becomes a signature item for you. Sandy Beach had talked many times, just off the cuff, about coming into your place with some friends. He had never been there, and he went on and on about the calzone. Now, Sandy's a big boy, and he'll often talk about his appetite, but even he wasn't able to finish your calzone.
The calzone is a mind bender. You know,
oh,
it goes out
goodness.
To the table, and typically it's an holy smokes, you know.
Couple people carry it out.
Yeah, it's like football sized, and it's big. The crust that I've developed is such that it's a deep golden, deep reddish color when it comes out.
Oh.
Visually, it's striking, and internally, it's striking too. It works real nice.
Chuck full of lots of ingredients.
Yeah,
huh?
No matter
what you put in it.
Whatever you want, you can take any of the toppings that we do on pizzas and then some, and just call it out.
I've got to come over and try one. You know what intrigues me too, John? I wonder if you'd be willing to put some of that bearberry spice on some grilled veggies or something. I think that would be delicious.
Of course.
I can't wait to come over and try that. Now, if you're a beer drinker and you see how popular craft beers have become in general, you're introducing some beer dinners that occur at the last Monday of every month. Why beer, John?
Well, it fits with the atmosphere that we're doing over there. We've done craft beer from day one in East Aurora, and before it was popular. Before, and I like to tell the stories of back in the day in East Aurora, you could get tap handles, glasses, plates, placards, lights. They'd give them to you because no one else was doing it. Now you have to stand in line for it because it's kind of everywhere.
Right, right.
But what we do over there, and I buy all the stuff through the vendors, is go for the left of center beer that isn't on every street corner. Probably won't find Sam Adams in our place on draft. But you'll find product that is unique, usually very limited, and tastes good. So it's not so far out there that you have to try to like it.
Right, right. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah, don't want sale proof. Want stuff that people can be introduced to that they're not going to see normally. And so my situation with the vendors is that when they come upon the limited edition or minimal output kegs, they send it to me.
Beautiful.
I don't have to ask. It just happens. Yeah.
That's a great routine you've developed.
Yeah.
You recommend reservations, I assume, for that?
Always, yeah.
And here's the number to call, 683-0462, 683-0462. The Yelling Goat, 205 Central Avenue in Lancaster. You can't keep a good goat down. John, what a pleasure. Congratulations for rising from the ashes, and thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week on Slice of Life. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. Take care and enjoy the week.
Thanks for listening. Brenda will be back next Slice of Life Sunday at 10:30 on ESPN 1520.